您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。Nowadays, women take up an increasing percentage of the workforce, but our workplaces are still far from equal. In fact, many hold on to the traditional view that a woman's best achievements lie in finding a good husband and raising well-behaved children. Well, today, talking with those topics, we have Yu Jin, who is the global partner of McKinsey & Company and head of its Beijing office, to join our show. And together, we'll talk about women's development in the workplace. Hello again, Ms. Yu.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello.
So, yeah, before we talk about some of those women's developmentin the workplace topics, I myself and I believe a lot of our listeners are still interested in the field you're working on, that is consulting. And we keep hearing the word, we keep hearing news about companies, that, you know, for example, McKinsey, and a lot of us don't have an idea of what you guys do.
It's actually very difficult to get a concrete idea because we do a wide range of things. But if I put it in a nutshell, what we do is to help the top management team of leading institutions, be it Fortune 500 companies, be it leading public government organizations, basically leading organizations to make most important decisions. We are their thought partners and help them think through things. Of course, they make the final decision, but we function as thought partners with our problem-solving ability and fact-based analysis to support and to make recommendations support decision-making.
Can I say, maybe this is a wrong understanding, but can I say that your role is sort of like a doctor to these enterprises, big companies, in a way?
Yeah, in a way. A doctor may come across as a little negative because sometimes company may be in the growth stage. They want to know how can they accelerate the growth. Sometimes companies are in trouble, then they know how to fix the issue, right? Oftentimes, in the traditional view, doctors come in when there are issues. So you can actually consider us either as doctors or a nutritionist or the trainers, right? So even if you're in a good shape, how can you be from grow from become from good to great? Yeah.
So almost an advisory role rather. So you're the if we're to think of like the king's court or something like that, the emperor, you're like the first advisor or the first administrator in a sense to different companies when they need advice, when they need someone to bounce ideas off of, then that's kind of what you do.
Yeah, in a broader sense, although more specifically today, so we're moving more and more towards working with them together, not only to generate the ideas, but also to get the ideas implemented. We're actually changing our service model to get closer to the implementation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also you have experience working in other sectors, other industries as well. I mean, for you, what is the charm of consulting? Why do you stay here?
Yeah. For me, actually, it was very simple. Life is, the meaning of life is about, a lot of it to me personally is about personal learning and growth. And McKinsey provided a great platform for personal learning and growth. The learning curve is really, really steep. For a lot of our consultants who spent 2 years at McKinsey, it pretty much shaped who they are for their lifetime.
Yeah, that's true. And let's talk a little bit about your own personal background a little bit, before we get into a broader discussion. So you went abroad to Caltech to study after graduation, right? And, what was your thinking at the time? And basically, what was happening in your 20s? How did you design your, route?
Honestly, there wasn't much design. Probably very different from many overachievers, right? I definitely am not a goal-getter. Particularly at the age of 20s, I was... when I get exposed to things, I know if that excites me or not. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have the question I hated the most is when people ask you, so where do you see yourself 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road?
I'm really glad to hear you say that.
Because I had no idea. At the time, the reason why I went abroad is because my boyfriend then, who it's now my husband. He decided to grow abroad and continue his study, graduate school study right after college. So I figured, you know, I probably should go as well if we were to continue the relationship. That was a simple reason. The reason why I got into Caltech, I think, honestly, because I was lucky. I applied to many schools. Caltech didn't ask for application fee, so it didn't hurt to, you know, submit one more application, and Caltech, you know, accidentally took me. So that's where I ended up there.
That's kind of how I got into undergraduate. Was I applied to three schools, and just randomly I got accepted in the honors program of one without applying to
it.
And the others put me on a waiting list. But it's interesting. I mean, so you said that you didn't really have a plan, but at the same time, I mean, you know, looking at, you know, what the field that you went into, certainly it's one of those fields that, at least on the surface or from the outside, it seems like one of the more applicable, one of the easier to, or more practical fields to go into.
You mean economics?
Yeah.
That wasn't the thinking to start with, you know, thinking about the applicability of what I would do. It was only because I was economics major in undergrad, so that was a natural continuation. I think, I guess what you're trying to get to is how do I know where I want to end up with, right, professionally? Honestly, I didn't know until after 30, age 30. Back then, I thought, you know, follow my husband's footprint, I'd go abroad. But I've never regretted. And nowadays, if I talk to young people, no matter how achieved they are in China, I actually encourage them to spend some time in their life outside, just to acquire some different experience and to develop some different perspective, to be able to look at things from different lens. I think that's invaluable.
Yeah, I think for me at least. I mean, I've been in China for about 7 years now. And even the first time, I came to China for 2 months back in 2004, and it's amazing what that does to you. It gives you that sense like there's something more out there. And a lot of people, you know, it's in China, they talk about they want to go abroad to study. They want to go to the UK or the US to go to high school or to university, and their main motivation is to study. To be honest, that's probably the wrong motivation, I think. Really, it should be about just seeing the world and
seeing what's
out there.
Seeing what's out there and seeing things from a different lens. Actually, I mean, I think today we need more. The world is getting more and more globalized. You know, people who excel would be global citizens, right? How do you become a global citizen? Mm-hmm. Only if you know what the world out there look like.
Yeah. But, you know, while you said that in your 20s you didn't actually had, you know, a great plan for yourself at least, but right now you're in consulting, and it's one of those businesses where a lot of what you do is to come up with a plan or
right.
to come up with, you know, advice, you know, or to tell other people how to plan, you know. So it's also, you know, to these young professionals who are in their, like, you know, late teens and early 20s, what they would probably wonder is, you know, what's my plan or do I need a plan? So do you think that, you know, the quote-unquote career planning sort of advice, does it, you know, apply here to young people?
Yes and no, right? I mean, although I do plans, I also realize there's always change in plan. But what's important, yes, you know, having a longer-term plan, if you are lucky enough, know really what you want in your life, starting from early age, I think, of course, definitely go for it, right? But if you don't, even for, you know, just shorter period of time, you know what would excite you, what would motivate you. Are you getting the maximum out of the time you spend on whatever you're doing? That's fine, too, and it accumulates. And at the end of the day, you know, if you know, looking back, life is a journey, right? It's a journey with a collection of different experiences. As long as you think that experience is worthwhile, well, I think that's, you know, that in retrospect, it could be a good plan.
Yeah, I think, you know, sticking to your goals sometimes, or setting too lofty goals, can actually be detrimental, perhaps, because you're too narrow-minded, you're not available, you're not opening yourself up to other opportunities and experiences. But Eugene, I wanted to go back real quick to talk about something that you said. You said that you followed your husband to the U.S. That was one of your, or your now husband to the U.S. I think some feminists, some hardcore feminists would be like, what are you doing? You know, how can, you know, a high-powered, you know, woman who's got been so successful in her career start off by following a man around the world?
Well, first of all, because at the time I definitely was not a high-powered woman. Even now I don't consider myself a high-powered woman. But to me, it just opened up an option, right? Given that he was abroad, it gave me one more option. Do I want to go and, as you said, right, and check out what's going on outside of China. I thought that's an option. Why not explore? I'm an explorer in life, so it's not like making sacrifice. I don't consider that as a sacrifice. But I do want to make the point, though, right? The reason why I didn't know what I would love to do until age 30 is because I think that's partially related to how I was brought up and educated, right? I think mm-hmm. we're so used to live to fulfill other people's expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, how do I... My parents are college professors, so to me, you know, going to college is a necessity because everyone around me went to college. It's not like, you know, going to college is what I wanted, is because, you know, just to be on par with people around me.
Yeah.
I think even today, right, a lot of our education system made us just so used to live to fulfill other people's expectation, is rarely that we could take time, you know, starting from even early age, right, to ask ourselves, what do I really want? What really motivates me? What really drives me? To me, that's actually very important.
Mm.
That would be my advice to younger people, right? Regardless whether you have long-term plan or short-term plan, from time to time, ask yourself, what motivates you? What gives you energy? What drives you? And just do whatever excites you. That's important.
Right. And now that you have children, would you actually stop putting your expectations on them and, you know, try not to mold them into what you want them to be?
Consciously, I tried. Am I 100% successful? I don't know, but I am mindful about that.
Yeah. And we have some questions. Maybe some of them you've probably already answered, but I still like to highlight these questions.
Sure.
So that maybe you want to add a bit more to it. So Jasmine asked, what were you doing when you were in your 20s? So you sort of answered that question maybe, but also she wanted to know, should we sit down in a job or go to a graduate school to learn something or go out just to travel around the world? So kind of what you do with your 20s life.
Right. Well, what did I do with 20s? Mostly in school, in graduate schools. And I spent 2 years working in the States before joining McKinsey. That's what I spent in my 20s. But mainly, I think in my 20s, I was searching in my life for directions, right? I was looking for my true north. I think, you know, going to graduate school could be your true north. Traveling around the world could be true north. But ask yourself, what do you really want? If you go to graduate school because everybody else does, if you go to graduate school because your parents want you to, that's probably not what you want, right? If in retrospect, right, do you want to go to PhD program straight from college? Probably not, because at the time I was doing my dissertation only to get the degree, not because I had passionate about the topic I was researching.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, if I have an opportunity to go back to school, things would be completely different.
I see. So it was a searching process. And so Chloe has a similar question, but talking about how to choose your field of work, because she was asking, how did you choose the best working field to you? Or, you know, did you just land your favorite job, all of a sudden? Or, you know, did you have like a searching process? How would you give suggestions to, you know, young people who are still searching, like where they can best fit in?
Yeah, well, I guess just taking McKinsey as an example, right? When I was about to graduate Caltech, of course, I start look around and see where people go, what are the options coming on campus, trying to go to as many relevant campus presentations as possible, because companies do have info sessions, and that give me a good opportunity to get closer observation and understanding of what they do, what their people are like, because not only what they do, right, what people are like is very important. At the end of the day, you mm-hmm. spend probably more time with your colleagues than your boyfriends and girlfriends. You have to like them, enjoy working with them.
Yeah.
To me, what initially excited me is not only the intellectual rigor of the problems that the McKinsey people talked about that they're solving for the world, right, when at the campus presentation, but also the people who showed up at the campus presentation made a difference. I thought, these people are not only smart, but interesting and also friendly, and I could sense the nurturing culture.
Interesting.
Therefore, I feel like I would like to, you know, to me, I think if I get to work with a group of people I admire and I like to do something meaningful and help me accelerate my personal learning and growth, why not?
Mm.
You know, that was the reason I joined McKinsey. But actually, in McKinsey, I realized I actually like it more and more.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, as these people are sizing you up, you're probably sizing them up as well to get
exactly.
a feeling of whether you fit them.
Absolutely.
Mm. Interesting. You're listening to Roundtable, and we'll be right back with more discussion with Eugene.
Join us every day from 1 to 2 p.m. on Easy FM for Roundtable, making sense so you don't have to.
And you're listening to Roundtable. Today we have Eugene, who is managing partner of McKinsey and Company. And together we're talking about career, and we're also talking about women in the workplace. So let's come to the women's part, because, you know, in fact, I think a lot of our listeners who are most active on WeChat and Weibo are female. You know,
well,
which is kind of strange.
It certainly is interesting, but I think it's also just a factor that women are somehow better at languages than men usually.
That's true.
Which means that they can understand our program better than most men. But I think that's one of the things that we did want to ask. And the thing is, your situation is a little unique in that you're working for a multinational company. But in China, and if I have it correct, you were actually recruited in the United
from
States.
From the U.S., yes.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's certainly a bit of a different career path than many, but still, I mean, you know, gender equality is still a big issue globally, and so I guess that's kind of the question, you know, is there a glass ceiling, or have you had any experience with the supposed glass ceiling?
Honestly, I don't subscribe to the word glass ceiling, because it's mostly in your own mind. If you think there is a glass ceiling, for sure there will be a glass ceiling, because you already define what's impossible for you to reach. But if you don't think there's a glass ceiling, you can probably go further. Of course, being a woman, trying to juggle different roles is challenging, but there are different challenges for different people. You know, I'm sure men have their own challenge to deal with too. I'm not saying, you know, the challenge a woman are dealing with is not significant. But at the end of the day, some people go farther than some others. Just because those people who go further, I don't think they are putting glass ceiling in their mind.
Mm. It's interesting. I'm glad you mentioned men, because whenever people talk about women in the workplace and like how they have to juggle all these relationships and they have to take care of their kids and stuff, it's like, I have two kids. I have to take care of my kids too. Just because I'm not a woman doesn't mean I don't have these responsibilities.
Yeah. But that's because yours is a healthy attitude, because you think men share this similar responsibilities in families. Well, you know, in society, I'm not talking about, you know, everybody, but there are certainly a large number of people who believe that women's role in the family should be a little bit stronger, or when it comes to, you know, career sacrifices that maybe one party has to make, it certainly has to be women, and, you know, things like that. You know, I mean, do you let those attitudes affect you, or, you know, do you stick to what you think and what your family think, and you do not mind what society thinks?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you know, your society is defined by people around you. 小宇宙.
Yeah.
So, and in my case, honestly, most of my male colleagues, they are very family oriented as well. They would rather spend quality time with their kids whenever possible. So I don't think they think, oh, you know, it's all, because it's not just responsibility, it's joy and pleasure, right? Nobody wants to sacrifice that for both moms and dads. And in terms of my own family, my husband is always very supportive, no matter what I decide to do. My family, you know, my parents-in-law, very, very supportive. So I don't think I was ever expected to make any sacrifice. Rather, they rather try to support me not to. I actually think in China, we are extremely privileged to make less sacrifice if woman wants to have a real serious job, because the supporting infrastructure in China is actually easier to build.
Mm. With grandma and grandpa,
exactly,
and nannies,
yeah,
and everything in place.
Yeah, with the nannies, with the drivers, with the parents and parents-in-laws, I mean, it's actually much easier than...
Until the in-laws come to live with you for an extended period of time, right?
Which is your question right now. Yeah. But the thing is still, you know, I also know some people who work in consulting, and they've told me that it's extremely difficult as a female to have children and then to raise children. If you want to advance in your company and at the same time you want to have a baby, it's just very hard. One of my friends, you know, basically quit her job to have a baby, you know. So I think that highlights some of the difficulty. But did you personally experience the same kind of, like, juggling process?
Well, of course, it's challenging to juggle between, you know, family life and work. But professionally speaking, I mean, talking about specific profession, I actually think consulting is relatively easier because it's project-based. You can be on a project, you can be off on a project. So it's easier for you to take time off and then be able to come back and integrate back. If you're in a corporate, you have a specific role and responsibility. And if you are away for a while, that role needs to be filled in. And there you need to craft a different role for yourself. Mm-hmm. It's actually even, I think in the consulting world, there's actually more flexibility because of the project-based nature.
And one of the things that I'm interested in, because, I mean, I know that you have two kids as well. And so not speaking as a woman, but speaking as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you find it difficult to maintain that balance between your work life and your personal life? And how do you balance that?
Well, first of all, when you juggle multiple things, it's always challenging, more challenging than juggle less things, right? And if you want more, you have to do more and you know, commit more. So I think, yes, it's challenging, but I don't think it's impossible, to be honest. I don't like the word life-work balance. It's never a balance. It's integration.
Mm.
To me, I think it's life-work integration. I think happy, mentally healthy mom is very important for the healthy growth for their kids. So I need to be happy. I need to be mentally healthy. And I know I need to feel fulfilled to make myself happy. And to be fulfilled, that means, you know, I need to feel like I live to my full potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have less than 1 minute time before we have to go to a break. But,
okay.
You know, I have to ask this question for a lot of people who ask me this question. That is, what kind of talents are consulting firms looking for? Right? Great question to ask.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I would say smart problem solvers who can work well with other people and really are have a heart to help other people and make other people successful.
And do you actually sieve through resumes and get rid of those who are not from top universities?
We are looking for people with drive for excellence. Top school and top performer at top school is one indicator, but it's not the sole indicator.
All right, that's definitely good to hear.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everyone seems to think I have to go to Tsinghua or Fudan or something in order to be able to get a good job, But honestly, I'm of the opinion that you really don't have to.
Yeah. And thank you very much, Yujin, for joining our show. It's a nice discussion.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.